Let's see your Bibles this morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens, 9:45. And your lesson plan. Are y'all awake this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Let's turn to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. I don't know how many of y'all, actually witness to people, share your faith with non-Christian people. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you do or not, but I want you to think about that. We should all do that. That's not just the pastor's job. That's all of our jobs. And if you do, you will undoubtedly come up and be confronted with or have conversation with people who will say to you, who are you to say the Bible is right? Has anyone ever heard that before? Okay? Who are you to say the Bible's right? Who's to say that what the Bible says is true? And why is it that what the Bible says is wrong is wrong, and what the Bible says is right is right? Who are you to say that? Now, if anyone ever says that to you, you could always say to them, who are you to say the Bible's not right? Right? I mean, it's just their opinion against yours. And because we live in a society that claims to be tolerant, and they're not tolerant, but they claim to be tolerant, you could say the same thing. Well, you know, I can believe what I want to believe, and you can believe what you want to believe. So therefore, if everyone is believing what they want to believe, how do we know that the Bible's right? The Da Vinci Code movie, we're going to do a series on the Da Vinci Code in a week, not next week, but either the week after, the week after that, for about 4 weeks. The Da Vinci Code movie and the Da Vinci Code book, whether you realize it or not, is probably one of the most blatant attacks on the Bible. And maybe one of the most effective attacks on the Bible in our lifetime. And we'll talk about that in the coming weeks, and we're going to talk about what the issues are. But one of the issues is the Bible's not legitimate. That there are books that should have been in the Bible that aren't in the Bible, and we'll talk why that's completely bogus. It's very easily refuted. But you are going to be challenged by that. And so how do you know that the Bible is true? It is so simple. The Bible works. If you do what the Bible says, you are blessed. You don't do what the Bible says, you're not blessed as much as you could be. Doesn't mean that people don't believe the Bible don't have nice things. It's not about that. It's about being spiritually blessed to the degree that God wants to bless you. And so I want to challenge you now because we're just finishing up the book of Leviticus. Next week we'll do our master quiz. And the book of Leviticus is a book about holiness. It's part of the Old Testament law. And the law is basically, here are the guidelines for holiness. The parameters for holiness. And when God gets to the end of the book, he basically says, if you do what I tell you, you'll be fine. If you don't do what I tell you, you won't be fine. Now, it doesn't matter whether you believe that or not, by the way. You know, it's not a matter, well, if I believe God, this applies to me. It's just true whether you believe it or not. I'll give you an example. You could be walking down the street and there's a bus coming at 40 miles an hour, and you may not believe that bus can hit you and kill you. It really doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. If that bus hits you, you will probably die. So it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Some things are just true. And so we're going to look at four principles about what's just true about God's word. Look at point number one in your notes. Good things follow those who obey God. Say obey.
Obey.
One more time, say obey. This is so critical for you to understand. If you do what God says, you will be blessed. Now, a lot of religious people, there's a difference between religious people and Christians. Some religious people are Christians, but some religious people are not. Religious people are people who do religious things. They go to church on Sunday. They go to church on Easter. They take communion. And, you know, they may say a prayer at night, oh, God, bless me today, tomorrow, or whatever, and that's it. That's a religious person can do that, and a person can do that and not know who God is at all. A lot of people are like that. Some of y'all could be like that. You do religious things, but as soon as you are outside of your religious thing doing time, you go do your thing. A Christian is someone who does what God wants all the time. That's a night and day difference. The person who does religious things is no different from the person who doesn't do religious things, other than their religious duty. But they're probably no more blessed. They're probably just like everybody else on average. God says, if you obey me, and this obedience is all the time. 95% commitment to God is 5% not enough. You're falling short. So if you, God's going to tell you, if you do what I say, everything will be fine. You will be blessed. Let's look at chapter 26. Verse 1, it says, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither carved image nor sacred pillar shall rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord." God wants to reestablish, I am the only God you should serve. Everyone say, I'm the only God you should serve. If you read Leviticus from front to cover, you will see I am the Lord your God, I think 50-something times. Is that true? 50? No, it's even more than that. I forget the number, apologize. But it's over and over and over, I am the Lord. That rock ain't your God. That car ain't your God. Your boss ain't your God. Your good looks, your intelligence, your money, nothing is your God but me. Nothing. Critical. Don't set up a graven image. Don't worship anything. Don't bow down to anything. Over and over and over again. Number one commandment. Verse 3. Here's what he says. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, here's what I'm going to do. Now, before I read what he's going to do, whenever a prophet would come to a city in the Old Testament, the prophet's job was to tell the people, you've been straying away from God. You are not obeying. Therefore, I'm here to tell you to obey. A prophet's job was not to predict the future. Sometimes they did, but that was not their job. Their job was simply to prophesy or be a mouthpiece for God, to simply say, do what God said. That's what I do every week. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. My job is to tell you, do what God said. That's all my job is. Can't make you do what God says. I can't overly worry about what if you're doing. I got to just keep my focus on what does God want me to tell you. But it all boils down to you obeying God. Because if you obey God, then God will take care of you. And so what the prophet's job, and when he told them there were six blessings in six categories those prophets in the Old Testament would proclaim. And these six categories were life. He would bless them by keeping them alive. Health, prosperity, agricultural abundance, respect, and safety. And basically the prophet would say, here's all the stuff God will do for you. And they were in those categories. God wants to bless every area of your life. Your health, your relationships, your career, your finances, your thought process, your education, your relationship, your everything. He wants to bless everything. Your refrigerator. Now, some people, they in prosperity teachers, there are other theologies of prosperity teachers that say you should be rich. That you should always have nice things and the best of this, the best of that. You see some of these guys on TV talking about if you do this, God's going to. Now, I don't believe that. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Doesn't mean you're going to be rich. But you may live in a nasty, roach-infested studio apartment, and God's blessing on your life is that the roaches are gone. And you live in a clean studio apartment. You may be 30 years old living with your mama. You may end up being 30 years old living with your uncle. So don't be confused that if I do these things, I'm going to get all this stuff. God's blessing is going to be on your life. So look what he says in verse 3. In verse 4, it says, if you obey me, I will give you rain in its season. There won't be drought. The land will yield its produce. They lived off the land. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Verse 6, I will give you peace in the land. I'll protect you. You shall lie down and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts and the sword of your enemy will not go through your land. I will basically bless you. God is giving a promise to you today. And by the way, God can't lie. This is a good thing about God. This is why the Bible works. God says, hold, trust, test me. See if I'm true. Matter of fact, the only time God says in the Bible to test him is with our money, because he knows we love our money. And he says, when he talks about tithing, you test me and you tithe and see if I don't bless you where your vats overflow. That's what God says. God can't lie. Now, you may say, well, for my vats to overflow, I need to be a multimillionaire. No. Mm-mm. your vats can overflow by you just having a little more than you have, but your heart is so content with it that you give it away. And you still are blessed. It could be that. The point is that God says, test me. Prove me a liar. Try to. And you can't. And God is saying, if you obey me, I will bless you. Pick one area of your life you want God to bless you. And tell God, God, this area is not blessed. And then God will say, I want you to obey me. And you obey him and watch what happens. Try it. Prove God wrong. This is why God is so good. Go do it. See what happens. Number two. Bad things happen to those who disobey God. Everyone say, duh. If you do good, you'll be blessed. If you don't do good, you're cursed. That doesn't mean you got a voodoo doll curse. No. It just means stuff always happens. Now, don't raise your hand or anything, but how many? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you sitting here today, stuff just happens? See if anyone raised their hand. You ever have those days where everything is going wrong all the time? Now, say yes, because that's kind of a general thing, right? It's just like stuff is, God says, listen, if you do good, I'll bless you. If you do bad, the smallest unit of light is called a photon. It's a small packet of light. It's the smallest unit of light. It's a single unit of light. There are countless photons coming out of these lights, hitting me, blah, 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 constantly. They were traveling 186,000 miles a second, bombarding me from right now, these lights on me. Same thing with you, but these were directly pointed to try to. Now, light is the only thing God made that he said he was. In Genesis 1, God made, let there be light, and then it says, God is light. Doesn't mean he is the photon, but if you study the properties of light, you'll understand God. It's very fascinating because light, at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, time stops. If time is stopped, there's no aging. God is timeless. He's everywhere at the same time, and he doesn't age. We know that light is both has wave properties or electromagnetic, non-physical properties, because it can go through stuff. But it also has particle properties, like a physical thing. It could bounce off walls. It's both wave or non-physical and physical, just like Jesus was all man and all God. But if you take light away, you are left with darkness. Darkness is not a physical thing. Darkness is just the result of no light. So if you take all the light out, you're only left with darkness. You can't have light without light. You can only have darkness when the light is removed. Are you following me? When you take God's blessing away, you only have curses. Look what it says in verse 14. If you do not obey me and do not observe these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenants, I will do this to you. Now, remember the prophet? The prophet will come to town, and most of his sermons were on this section. He says, if you don't obey God, here's what's going to happen to you. And the categories that God was going to punish his people, there were 10 of them. Let me read them to you. They all start with D, at least my list. They all start with D. Death, disease, drought, dearth, danger, destruction, defeat, deportation, destitution, and disgrace. The prophet would say, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't obey God. And if you read all the prophetical books, the 17 books of the Bible, if you read them, that's what they're saying. This is going to happen to you. That's all their job was. And this is what God's saying. Look what he says. Verse 16. I will do this to you. I will appoint terror over you, waste and disease and fever, which shall consume your eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in the vein. Your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. Have you ever had a bad day, and you don't know why, and you're just tripping, and nothing's changed? You're just You're just like having a bad day and nothing is happening. It's like this guy. You're going to run and nobody's chasing you. You're going to be depressed and nothing bad is happening. You're going to be scared and there's nothing to be scared of. You're going to worry and there's nothing to worry about. Why? Because God removed his blessing from you. Why? Because you chose to disobey. Some of y'all are in that condition right now. Matter of fact, some of y'all came here because you are at the end of your wits. You've come to the right place. God is saying to you, stop fighting me. You can't be God. You can't be God. When we counsel with people, it's these people. I want to disobey God and get my way. That's the bottom line. And so we got to listen to hours of self-justification, which is why I don't do good in counseling. Here's what I did, and I thought this, and they, okay, stop. I don't counsel, so people don't really get this. They don't have to endure that, you know, frustration. I go, you know, are you obeying God? If you're not obeying God, then there's nothing we can do for you except tell you to obey God. Really, if you want to deal with your problems, and by the way, if you got a problem with your wife or your husband or your family, stop and look at your own life, not that you've caused that, but bear me out, and write down what God wants to teach you. And you start working on that, and it'll be amazed at what happens over here. You'll be amazed. It doesn't mean that this caused that. It doesn't mean that this is even associated with that. Except that God is using that. Not that God did that. God is very efficient. He didn't do it, but he uses it. Don't try to figure out how. Just do what you're supposed to do. Because you never figure God out. If you do what God says, you're blessed. If you don't do what God says, you won't be blessed. And then God gives us chances to repent, by the way. By the way, if you repent, God will forgive you. That's the good news. We're going to get to that. That's number four. But number three, look what it says. In your notes, disaster comes in stages. In other words, God will give you a chance to repent. You'll do something bad, and you'll go, ooh, that hurt. Because darkness came. And then, because we're hard-headed, say hard-headed, hard-headed. We'll do it again. Ooh, that hurt. And because we're hard-headed, say hard-headed, hard-headed. We'll do it again. Boom, that'll hurt. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? Is anybody in here? Anybody? Say amen if this is you. You do one thing wrong, and you learn your lesson, and you never do anything wrong ever again. I ain't think so. We always try to slip and slide and bob and weave God. Yeah, let me try it this way this time. Let me try it this way, and I'll do it at night, and maybe I'll do it in the day, and maybe I'll do God's like, it's like, here comes the bus. Maybe I'll let it hit me this way. And no, maybe I'll let it hit me on my right side. Maybe I'll hit it, maybe I could, no, you're going to die every time. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, after God's punished you, and after all this, if you do not obey me, I will punish you seven times more. And then he lists down some punishments. And look at verse 23. And if after these things you don't walk reformed and walk contrary, then I'll walk contrary to you and will punish you seven more times. And then he lists some stuff. And verse 27, and after this, if you don't obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will chastise you seven more times. Now, you may be saying, well, what kind of fool does that? Everyone say, me. We're doing a documentary on crystal meth, and it's going to be finished in May, and cross our fingers is going to air it in May. And one of the people in the video was a cook. He cooked crystal meth. And he's talking about it. And he says in the video that he was arrested 250 times. That's this guy. And I saw him this morning. I saw him this morning here at church. And I said to him, how do you know? Did you count? He said, no. When I went to get my social security number or something else, he had to look in his record and it was in there. 250. And I told him this morning I was going to tell this today, even though I said it last night before I asked him. I didn't say his name, so it's no big deal. And plus, he says it on video, so the whole San Diego's going to know it with his face. He said, I was hard-headed. Are we hard-headed? We're hard-headed. Hard-headed. I got a pimple right here. The scar, I can't feel it. It's like right there, like 2 weeks ago. The reason I got that pimple, because I ate ice cream and cookies 2 days in a row. Now, eating ice cream and cookies 2 days in a row is not a sin. You know, it's not necessarily a sin from the Bible. It's just something that I shouldn't be doing. But the reason I did it is because it was my birthday. And, you know, I had a little birthday thing. And really, my wife brought me down. Yeah, she's over there in the pink. Y'all see that lady over there in the pink. Remember Adam and Eve? She brought me to the tree of temptation. Eat, honey, of the fruit. Anyway, I got that pimple. And it was right in my forehead. God said, you know what that's for? I said, yes. It's my birthday. He says, be careful. Be careful. Now, that's just between me and God. You don't have to be tripping on his ice cream bad. That's between me and God. Please don't look at it that way. But God may tell you something like that. You know, you may eat junk food. And by the way, junk food is no good for you. Doesn't mean you should never eat it. Doesn't mean you can't live, whatever. Really, it doesn't really doesn't mean that. But just to acknowledge that it's no good for you and that it in excess can harm you, and that's between you and God, but that's the reality of it for me. And there may be something in your life that he says, you know, I don't want you listening to that music. And you know what? You do that. I don't want you wearing those clothes. You do that. Don't worry about anybody else. You do what you're supposed to do. But why would God punish us? Because some people still got a problem. Why is God so mad? Why is he so vengeful? Why is he threatening us? No, no, no. Tony Dungy is a coach in the NFL, and he is the most, I say, respected for his character than any other coach. That's just my opinion, but a lot of people do believe that. Very humble guy. His son committed suicide 4 months ago or so. And he was speaking about it at the Super Bowl breakfast. And in his speech, he started talking about his other son who has a condition where he cannot feel pain. He puts his hand in the oven because he likes cookies hot, but he can't feel the heat. Now, I want you to imagine living life where you can't feel pain. By the way, would anybody want that? Because how would you know you're hurt? How would you know what to stay away from? How would you know what's danger? Now, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, heartache, those things protect us, don't they? That's why God gave them to us. That's why God gave us the ability to hurt. So we would stay away from the things that hurt. And that's why God in the Bible says, don't do these things, because these things will hurt you. If I told you, don't put your hand in that fire, you're a little kid, you would never hear a parent tell a kid that and think the parent's being mean. You would say a parent is negligent not to say that. Amen? So when God tells us, don't lie, don't cheat, don't commit adultery, don't be a homosexual. I'll say it again, don't be a homosexual. I didn't stutter. Don't be transgender. Don't commit murder. Don't rape. When he says those things, he's saying it for our benefit. We want to switch around because we want something. And we think we know better than God. And we think we can bob and we can get away what we want. Outside of God's law, it don't work. Now, our culture is going so fast away from the Bible. And why this is so pertinent? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. But watch what happens. Just watch what happens. Watch what happens to the people who do those things. They may seem fine today. God is so patient and so merciful. And you look at all the pain. Matter of fact, there's a bill that the Senate is considering that would require all schools in the United States to teach that homosexuality, transgender, transvestite is normal starting in kindergarten. Okay. Go ahead and do that. Watch what happens to your society, our society. Just watch. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. It doesn't matter. If you say this fire will not burn me, it doesn't matter what your opinion is. It's going to burn you. God is telling us here, if you obey me, you will be blessed. If you don't obey me, you will not be blessed. And by the way, there is always evidence that God is right. Every single person who does against what God says eventually will pay a price for it without exception. It may not be today. And by the way, some of you are still rattling over my homosexuality comment. Do you know if you're a homosexual at 20 years old and you're a guy, you're going to cut 20 years off your life? 20 years. Why? Because God is true. It may not be today. But they don't. The majority ain't living to 70, 80 years old because a lifestyle is detrimental to your health. Forget your opinion. It's detrimental to your health. God is telling you, he's warning you. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves us. It's the only reason why. Here's the good news. Second chances are given to those who repent. Second chances are given to those who repent. Oh, God loves us so much that he says, even though you curse my name, even though you turn your back on me, even though you don't want to listen to what I say, and even though even right now you're questioning whether this is true, if you say you're sorry, if you admit that you're a sinner, I'll forgive you. Look what it says in verse 40. But if they confess their iniquity or their sin, and the sin of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, and they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have also walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humble, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, with Isaac, and with Abraham. I will remember the land. God says, if you repent and say, I am sorry, I will forgive you. If you don't, I won't. You know, a lot of times we always want people to be forgiven for something what they do, but they never repent. They don't repent. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Not only am I sorry, but I'm willing to turn. This is what repent means. Turn and go the other way. Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. That's saying you're sorry. And who really knows what you mean with your mouth unless we watch with your attitude. And so if you're going this way, to say you're sorry to God doesn't mean to say the words. It means to make a commitment in your heart to change your ways. That's the difference. God says, if you repent, I will forgive you. In a minute, we're going to pray. Here's the challenge for all y'all. There's two groups of y'all out there. Those who know Christ intimately and those who don't. For both of you, one prayer. God, I want to repent. Now, if you don't know Christ at all, you're repenting from all your sin and God and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and establish a relationship where his light fills your heart, chases all the darkness away. Matter of fact, the only thing faster than light is darkness running away. God's light fills your heart and it's gone. His Holy Spirit fills you and transforms your life, and now you are going to walk according to his ways. The other group of y'all out there, y'all are Christians, and you know you're not completely blessed. Why? Because you're bobbing and weaving. You're doing a little LT with God, trying to fake him out. And he's like, nah, ain't going to happen. Because God is all around. And you say, you know what, Lord, I want to get my life right with you. I want to be blessed, going and coming. I want God to bless every area of my life. Why? Because he promised to bless every area of my life. Why would I not want God to bless me? And you might say, well, that's selfish. Not to pray that, so I'm not. No, it's stupid not to pray it. Why is it stupid? Because God said to pray it. Because God's saying, I want to bless you. You're going, well, no, God, you know, I think I know better. Better than you. I think that you're wrong to tell me I should pray. That's just stupid. Say, no, God, I want to take you at your word because I want everything you have for me. So we're going to pray, and if you're in one of those groups, we're going to ask you to pray with us. And then we're going to ask you to stand up. I'm standing up, it's all right. Let's all pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are so good. You thank you that your word is so clear. We thank you that it's so simple. Just like our relationship with our mother and father, just like our relationship with our employer, we do what we say, things will be better than if we don't. If this morning you would like to make a commitment to God to be blessed, to be obedient, if this morning you're saying, yes, Lord, I want you to forgive me for whatever he wants, you want him to forgive you of, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I am a sinner and that my sin has bad consequences. Most of all, death. Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with your light, your Holy Spirit. Transform my life today. I want to commit to you 100%. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master, my God, of all my life, every inch of it, every ounce. Thank you, God. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. Some of y'all are Christians today who are going to stand. Some of y'all just became a Christian. Don't worry about who's around you. This is between you and God. This may be the day some of you Christians out here walk down here for the first time after you've watched hundreds of other people do it. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar if you prayed that prayer. Just stand to your feet and walk down to the altar. By doing that, you are saying, yes, God, here I am. God bless you. Just stand up right now and come on down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Like a flood, God is saying, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my burden. It is easy and light. Lord, thank you. God bless 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 you. Lord, I pray you bless these people as they come. I pray you transform their life as they come. I pray that they just left their old way at their seat. I pray that they never let go of you. Thank you. God bless all of you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I want to read something to you. This is a little prayer that a young lady left. She passed away and went to be with the Lord. She was 80 years old. And her grandson, I've known since he was 16. He's 33 now. Still goes to church here. And he was in my youth group 17 years ago. And in her prayer box, she left this prayer. Dear God, bless the Rock and Pastor Miles and give him his church. This was many years ago she wrote this prayer when we were in San Diego State before we had our building. Bless him, give him his church and his land, school and college. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Then it says, I pray he never gets too big for his britches. I love that prayer. You don't want to get too big for your britches. You and I, we're nothing. All we got to do is do what God says. You do what God says? You don't do what God says? It's that simple. You can say, I want to learn all the deep things of God, whatever that means. A lot of times that means, tell me something I don't know and can't comprehend. If you can't comprehend it, how's it going to do you any good? In the end, what are you going to do with it, though? What are you going to do with it? I spoke in Denver the other day, and it was a group of about 300 men who have men ministries. And I was watching them worship God. I was standing in the back watching them during worship time. And most of them were standing like this, or with their hands in their pocket. And so I wanted to speak. I told them, I said, you know, I was watching y'all worship, and y'all worshiping like this. What's that? I said, you know, God has given us as men this independent, I can do it attitude, be the leader, take charge. Amen, fellas? Amen, fellas? Amen. That's our worst curse, too. It's our biggest blessing, our worst curse. Because when we have that attitude with God, God can't use us. We have to let God take that and use it for his good and not get too big for our britches. Same thing for y'all ladies. Same thing for all of us in here. We just got to say, God, you've given me all this talent, all this intelligence, all these abilities, whatever it is God gave you, but it all belongs to you. What do you want me to do? That's the bottom line. Everything else is from the devil. It's no good. So what we're going to do is you're going to follow that young man. We're going to give these people a hand. Next week, amen. Just walk out that way. Let's give them a hand as they go out. Who's the man this morning?
Jesus.
Who's the man this morning?
Jesus.
Let's keep clapping. Come on, let's encourage him. Come on now. Come on now.
Woo.